It is time now for The Other Side, and we are joined in the studio by Orange County Conservative Ashley Campbell to help us out as always. Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Kind of the big thing that I think we're still talking about locally is the developments related to light rail in the last couple of weeks. And I think the last time we talked a couple of weeks ago, none of these things had happened. All of that happened just in the last week and a half, right?
A lot has happened.
Yeah. So just to recap, there was a deadline, which was February 28th, for a whole bunch of different stakeholders to sign cooperative agreements with Go Triangle. A couple of organizations did not. The North Carolina Railroad is one, but the one that got the most attention was Duke University. Go Triangle came back, said, come back to the table and discuss for another few weeks. Duke said, no, that isn't going to get us anywhere. And that's where things stand right now. Eminent domain, I guess, has been kind of tossed around, but isn't, I don't think, likely, then the project is going to move forward. I think that's basically the summary, right?
Right. And I, you know, I've never been a fan of this light rail project. And so I was sort of delighted. It's not too strong a word. I was delighted. And I think that I hadn't expected anything from Duke. I thought all those major stakeholders were on board. I thought it was all like going to the FTA. So that's taken a turn in all of this. And so there's been a lot of scrambling and fast negotiations that my major concern is that it's hard now for the public to keep up with it. You know, I have trouble keeping up with it and I make it a concerted effort to. You know, I know the county commissioners are going to have a update tonight at their meeting from Go Triangle, but, you know, I'm worried what information is being shared, what is going on behind the scenes. Are we going to get an update from Go Triangle that's going to illuminate all those information? For example, there's a cost-sharing agreement meeting last week that was precipitated by the FTA coming back with his draft risk assessment that said that the project needed to add an additional, I think it was $237 million to the project, which was over 5% of the budget. And so there's a built-in mechanism to have a renegotiated cost share agreement. I don't know if the results of that meeting, which Commission Chair Penny Rich and the Go Triangle Board of Trustees representative from Orange County, Mark Markopoulos, attended that meeting to negotiate on behalf of Orange County. I don't know what happened as a result of that meeting, but I would love for the commissioners to share an update on, you know, what they know, what's going on, particularly because commissioners agreed to $149.5 million cap for Orange County in a resolution. And, you know, is that resolution going to be tossed out the window? Is it going to have to be modified somehow? Is it going to increase?
I don't think so in answer to that question, because we had Penny Rich on last week, and this was after Duke's decision. This was after the $237 million, which would have been the huge news of last week, if not for all of the other.
Like
that's pretty significant as well. But after all of that, we had Penny Rich on, and she said, yeah, the cap is the cap, and that's not going to change. But
I hope that, you know, whatever's gone on behind the scenes between when she was talking last week and now, that that's still the case.
Yeah. But the money's going to have to come from somewhere if the project goes forward, right?
Right, exactly. So that's a little disconcerting. And jumping over to Durham, you raised the specter of eminent domain, and in your remarks you said this seems unlikely to happen.
I don't think it seems likely.
I mean,
I could be wrong about that.
One of my friends shared an article about the last time somebody tried to, well, actually I think it was Orange County was going to take some property from Duke Forest, actually, via eminent domain, and Duke, rather than let Orange County seize the property, gave it to NASA or something like that. So the message was that if you try to deal with Duke via eminent domain, you're probably not going to get what you want out of it. So, you know, Duke is just a huge entity. And so I can only imagine the legal battle that would result.
There's that. And then you and I have talked about eminent domain before, and we both came to the same agreement, which is that it's sketchy.
It exists.
It's certainly a, I guess, tool in the tool belt if you're a government agency, but it's never a great idea, I don't think.
And I read Mark Anthony Middleton's op-ed that he submitted to Indy about using eminent domain, and that's the way he referred to it essentially, is it's like we have to use every tool that we have. But what baffles me really is that he acknowledges that, oh, and he's on the Durham City Council.
Right,
sorry,
right.
I probably didn't say that. But anyway, he acknowledges that this eminent domain power was invoked back in the 60s, mm-hmm. late 60s, 70s, to pave over Black Durham, just destroyed it. You know, the Haitai community. But yeah, he goes on to say, well, yeah, all these bad things happened because of eminent domain, but, you know, trust us, we're going to do it right this time, just using the benefit of history here. Forgive me for being just a little bit skeptical and if the promises about light rail are going to materialize the way
they
did.
There are examples historically where eminent domain was used and the project did go forward and it was fine and it worked out great for everyone. It's still a sketchy tool to use. Like, you're taking people's private property and
And I mean, I even have a problem with it for things like border walls. So I try to maintain a consistent stance on it, even if it's...
The reason I say I don't think it's going to happen, and again, I could be wrong about this, is you mentioned Mark Anthony Middleton, who's the Durham City Council member. He raised that at a city council meeting. He was the first one to say, and then he is the one who wrote the op-ed. And I can see where Middleton's coming from. I mean, this is a project that people have put years and years of work into, and to see it come to an end, I get that. I still think he's pretty much the only one, though. Like, when he was at the city council meeting, he was the one who raised eminent domain, and it wasn't like the entire rest of the city council was jumping in saying, oh, yeah, we've got to do that.
Right.
And I think kind of the same thing with the op-ed. And I think now, just in the last week and a half, maybe a couple more public officials are coming forward saying maybe we should think about this. So take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, because as more public officials come forward and say we should think about this, then it becomes more of a possibility. But if it's just Middleton saying that, and I think so far that's what it is, then I don't think anything will come of that unless he starts getting more people on board with that idea. And I don't think that's happened yet.
Right. Yeah. Well, that,
maybe it will.
You have probably a lot more detailed information than I do.
I don't
but
know
that's
about
the
that
impression I've gotten, though. You know, that aside, there's still a lot to talk about. I mean, there's additional issues that were raised in the FDA's draft risk assessment report that, again, I'm hoping to hear more about at the county commissioner's meeting tonight, because there's a lot of changes that it suggests that would have more of an effect on Chapel Hill, you know, in Orange County. Recommendations like removing stations, reducing at grade crossings, and elimination of an overpass at Fordham, so reducing that whole structure, reducing pedestrian and other amenities that were going to be added for cyclists, and then also, when this has raised the biggest red flag to me, but also reducing trains down to a single car. So I hope that they'll talk a lot about the impacts that this could have on Chapel Hill. And Go Triangle has said earlier in the year that they would have more open houses, but I don't know if just things have been changing so quickly. But I mean, I think that they certainly need to keep the residents and not just the representatives to their board more informed about what's going on with changes in the project.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, I want to go back a second, because you said when you first kind of became aware of the project, you had issues with it. What was it that led you to oppose the project in the first place?
Oh, well, good question. I think that the main things were, you know, something that a lot of people raise is just like, do we have the density that light rail really needs to function well? Especially because another thing people raise a lot is it will go to the airport, you know, if it was a rail connected to the airport in Raleigh and that sort of thing, it seemed like it would be a more viable project. I understood, you know, it would take a bit of eminent domain to be completed. So that was another thing for me. I also wasn't sure if it would really have the benefits to the environment or congestion that it was originally touted as having. And I think even Go Triangle has said it might not decrease congestion that much, because 80% of riders are projected to have to take a car to get to a station. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
So what do you think should be done?
Well, I think that a more flexible transit plan would be a better option, because, well, it's more flexible. And I'm thinking of things like buses primarily. And, you know, they can be purchase I forget exactly what it is now, but a fraction of the cost for per mile compared to light rail. I think it's maybe a tenth of the cost. And it's easier to get off the ground as well. Like Wake County, I think, is making big strides just recently with having their bus rapid transit and lots of new bus routes. And they've just been working on that for a few years, like a small amount of time compared to how long they've been working on light rail, which if it proceeds, won't be completed until at least 10 more years. And mega projects like this, you can look at things like the Big Dig or even the high-speed rail that was supposed to happen in California that's now been scaled back pretty significantly. I mean, they're always over budget, almost always over budget, rarely get done on time, and usually don't have the same ridership or benefits economically that are promised. So I was just taking a historical perspective of mega projects like this and trying to determine if this would be any better.
But then you have the interstate system, which was like the biggest mega project of all.
Uh-huh.
Succeeded wildly and in ways that might not have been anticipated.
Well, yes and no. Yes, do I love the autonomy that cars offer, and I love, being able to get pretty quickly from point A to point B using an interstate. Yes, but at the same time, I recognize that when those were being built, there were a lot of the same challenges that, it was a mega project of the time. And so if I lived back then with the same political outlook, I probably would have had the same problems about the interstate. And I still say sometimes, can't states just be responsible for the roads within the state and then work with neighboring states if you need to make those connections rather than have it be a federal responsibility, but it was built, sold as for the military and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But so there's a lot of problems. I just wish, mostly we could have something that was more efficient. It seems like more and more as time goes by, something like light rail is not going to be, it's just not as modern as it once was. And we need something that can keep up with where, the changing population centers, which I feel like buses or, even autonomous vehicles we're going to have coming out now or soon, we'll be able to do that a lot better than something static like light rail.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, we got to wrap up. I got one more question, which is something that I've been curious about in following the conversation on social media. Opponents of the light rail, obviously, when Duke came out with its decision not to sign the agreement, were praising Duke kind of unconditionally. Why not criticize Duke for dragging the conversation out as long as they did and blowing $150 million in advance preparation as opposed to just putting the kibosh on the project 6 years ago, if that was their concern with the project?
That's not a bad question at all. I mean, on the one hand, I feel like if the project will indeed just wrap up and dissipate and disappear, that will have saved the taxpayers of Orange County, Durham County, in fact, the state and nationally, significant funds on a project that probably wouldn't have lived up to all of its promises and hopefully would result in a better transit plan. But you're right that a lot of unconditional praise has been heaped on Duke, and Duke has been characterized as negotiating in bad faith. It's hard for me just as like a regular person to know exactly what those meetings were like. I, of course, wouldn't be able to attend those Go Triangle meetings with either the Board of Trustees or other meetings that they had. But, I don't know if people feel like they were led on by Duke and now they're just, suddenly turning on their heels and walking away. But it seems like for years, from what I've read, Duke hasn't been very enthusiastic about the project. But maybe they wanted to do their best to see exactly where the project was going, how promising it really was, and if it was something that they could get behind, then I think they would have done it wholeheartedly. But, there are these what they considered major issues that would have affected the hospital, and their concerns about that were just, what broke the camel's back. But I mean, I really don't know, because there's always political things going on behind the scenes that affect decisions that are made like this. So it's hard for me to say that they were the best negotiating partner. I don't know. But I just think that in the long run, if their lack of agreement is what ends the project, it will be better for us, and we'll have a better transit plan as a result.
And that is The Other Side for this week. We'll leave it there. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.